The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Tom Williamson of KIIC in Albia and Aaron Summers with the Pocahontas Record Democrat. Tom, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Senator Grassley, you and Senator John Tester, Democrat from Montana, are the only farmers in the U.S. Senate currently, and you've been urging the USDA to provide protection for livestock farmers against unfair and deceptive practices by meat packers, all of those issues. And I recently talked to a beef producer friend, and he again mentioned that it just seems like there are some practices not beneficial to a family farmer. Where do we stand on that? What has the USDA done with this issue?
Is your question in regard just to the drop in beef prices now? Is that where your question comes from?
He's at an unfair advantage. He's medium-sized, not huge, and a family farmer.
Okay. Well, I think one thing would be mergers that have been going on in agricultural processing and maybe even in inputs into agriculture. I think that's what's been unfair to agriculture is when you have less competition, you probably have higher prices that you pay or lower prices when you sell a product. When it comes to, now we've had a drop in beef prices, supposedly because of a fire at some processing plant. I don't know if it's in Texas or in Kansas, and that's been what took the blame. But we find out that there was enormous profits going on as a result of that, while the farmers are losing money. And supposedly the price went down for the farmers because slaughter was backed up because of this fire at a slaughterhouse. So two things there. One, we got the Packers and Stockyards division of the U.S. Department of Agriculture is looking into that. And then over a long period of time, dealing with cattle prices, we've had a situation where late trading in the day has been an overwhelming, like let's say the last 20 minutes, overwhelming amount of trade going on, and there's a real feeling among some cattle feeders that people that have sophisticated ways through the computer of getting information, maybe just a few seconds ahead of somebody getting it at a slower rate, gives them an unfair advantage. So that comes under the jurisdiction of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, and we're asking them to investigate that aspect of it.
Thank you, Senator. I was wondering if you could just kind of give us an update on your efforts to address prescription drug prices.
Yeah. I'll give you a process answer because from the standpoint of legislation, we just got the bill out of committee, and the bill is just being drafted by the legislative writers, the lawyers, in other words. And we hope to have that done this week. Then we'll start a three-pronged approach to get it passed. One would be trying to work out differences with the House of Representatives even before they pass their bill. A second one is it's necessary to get more Republican sponsors in the United States Senate. We have plenty of Democrat support. And lastly, because the president was interested in reducing prescription drugs even before Congress got involved, and that goes back about 14 months for the president, we want to get the president personally more involved, even though the White House is supporting the bill that I got out of my committee in a bipartisan way, 19-9. So that's where we're working from a process standpoint. The bill would save a little over $100 billion, according to the Congressional Budget Office. It would lower Medicare out-of-pocket costs, particularly and the premiums connected with Part D. It might even have, well, at least CBO thinks it would have an impact on the commercial market. It would cap out-of-pocket costs, so some seniors would have peace of mind of how much they should have to pay under Part D of Medicare. It increases transparency, so the marketplace will work better. It has the support of the AARP, the libertarian think tank Cato, conservative economists like Avik Roy, and it tries to tackle the secrecy of what you call the pharmacy benefit managers, or PBMs. Back to Tom.
Yeah, Senator Grassley, your office sent out a commentary by you on tomorrow being U.S. Constitution Day, and that's a very important document for our representative form of government, and pretty timeless. Would you take a moment and reflect upon this document, the Constitution?
Yeah, kind of an innovation then and still now with a lot of countries. But back then it was the only country, and so we're blazing the trail for the principle of limited government, the fact that the Constitution is to protect the people from their government, because the people that wrote the Constitution knew that one person, George III, was controlling everything, and so they set up executive, legislative, judicial branches of government so no one person could run things like George III did. It seems to me that they very carefully laid the groundwork for a free market system of economics, and that principle of limited government, freedoms and liberties belonging to the people, and the principle of free markets has led the United States to be the most prosperous nation in the world, and it's because of the Constitution writers. Aaron?
Last week, the news came out that the Waters of the U.S. rule has been repealed. I know that has been in the works for a while. Could you just comment a little on your take on that finally being finalized, and kind of what the EPA might look at going forward, sort of in that same arena?
This administration did the right thing. So under the Clean Water Act of the 1990s, President Obama issued the Waters of the U.S. regulation. It would have led to government control over about 97% of the land in the state of Iowa. It would have been bad not only for farmers but other people as well, but in farming it would have been particularly bad. You probably would have had to get okays from bureaucrats, everything you wanted to do. So it was repealed because it was that bad, and it was the right thing to do. Tom Williamson?
Yes, Senator, you've always been a consistent advocate for rural hospitals. So what's your perspective as chairman of the Senate Finance Committee? What's being done to kind of equalize things for rural hospitals?
Well, I wouldn't say it equalizes, but it's a tendency to equalize. And that is everything we've done over the last 20 years, like critical access hospital designation is one. Maybe I can name a couple more, at least one more. The Medicare-dependent hospital program for doctors, what we call the geographical differential, or it's called GIPSI for short, to give more money to doctors in rural areas under Medicare. Adding to that, I expect those things to continue. There's one brand new thing that both the Iowa Hospital Association wants, and I'm in support of it because I thought of the idea two or three years ago, and now they're joining forces with me. And that is hospitals that have low occupancy rate for their overnight patients, if they want to give that up voluntarily and maintain everything else the hospital does, we would have a special program for that so we could maintain the services of a hospital, even with the most expensive part of it, the residential part of it, going away. Aaron, you're the last question.
All right. What are you hearing from Iowans as the trade situation continues and the impact, you know, what impacts are Iowans reporting to you from the tariffs and the different back and forth with China in particular?
Well, they want the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian agreement passed so we can get more pork. No, not pork. So we can get more dairy and poultry and wheat into Canada. They want it. Farmers maybe don't care about car manufacturing, but it's going to be a big boost to car manufacturing in the United States. In regard to China, I think the farmers have some anxiety about it, but they know China should be following the rules of trade since they joined the World Trade Organization 20 years ago, and they've been cheating for the last 20 years. And farmers know people shouldn't be cheating on trade, so they're willing to stand by the president as he negotiates an agreement with China. But it's pretty difficult to predict what's going to come out of that, because we thought we had an agreement May the 1st, and then the Chinese backed out. They're back to the table now, and about the only thing I can say in conclusion is, if we're talking, there might be an agreement. I'd be more concerned if we weren't talking.
Thank you, Tom and Aaron, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.